You guys okay? Everyone's okay? You guys, have you ever like, do you have any memories of when you were a kid going out and hunting for treasure? You guys ever do that? You know, pretend you're a pirate trying to find treasure, or maybe you're just like a kid and you're trying to go along and you're digging through stuff and rooting through your parents' stuff, or, you know, okay, how many people have gone through their mom's jewelry box, you know, stealing treasure? Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, you know, we all kind of like, as kids, we'd always go out and try to find stuff, and it was amazing what was treasure to a kid, you know. I don't have a distinct memory of doing this, but I was told when I was a kid, actually, I do have a memory of it, and I'll explain it in a second, but this, I would go out, and my treasure was to find gum that was stuck to the road, and I would pick it up and eat it. And I thought that was awesome. And I don't remember doing it, but I do. This is weird. I have a distinct memory of the texture of that gum in my mouth. I can still feel it right now crunching as I was eating it. And to me, that was like, that was my treasure. That was awesome. See? Someone just chucked it out, and I'm like, there's still flavor in that. So, you know, this, we do. We kind of, you know, as kids, we go out and we try to, like, find treasure things. And now, Yakima is known for its yard sales. So we got any yard sailors out there who go out and find those treasures? Yeah. I mean, it's amazing, right? You find some stuff and it's like $4 for something. And then some of you guys take it home and you do stuff with it. And it's like, that's really amazing. And then also there's those of us who take things home and they end up getting put in our yard sale. Yeah, we junk them. Yeah. So we used to have yard sales out in the parking lot here. And this is, it's just amazing. Anytime you want to sell something from the church, like we'd have old whatever, we would put it out on the, in the parking lot, and I'd walk out there, set it down. And I've probably done that maybe a dozen times, just a random item from church. We don't need anymore. We're just going to either sell it or give it away. And most of the time, before I'm even back to the church, it's like someone's pulled into the parking lot to take it. I'm not kidding. It is amazing. And usually when they're that, you know, we're just like, okay, go. And the youth group used to do yard sales and parking lot sales out there. And, you know, we'd start at 8. But at 6:30, without fail, there'd be we got professional yard sailors in Yakima. These guys are treasure hunters, man. But they'd be waiting. And we're like, no, we start at 8. You know, we haven't got everything out yet. And so they're always like, oh, fine, I'll be back. But, you know, it's just this idea of going out, searching for treasures, looking over stuff. You guys know the show American Pickers? Yeah, you ever watch that? That's kind of cool. I like how they just go in the backwoods of our country and find these just really neat things. And sometimes it looks like junk, but there's a history and a value to it that goes beyond just money. And they find these treasures in the middle of nowhere. Anyone watch the Curse of the Oak Island series? Anyone? I have no idea what that's about. But I... But I've just seen commercials for it, and it's just like, it's, from what I understand, it's these two brothers who are spending a boatload of time and money on this island, on Oak Island, to try to find this treasure, this thing called the Money Pit. There's all these myths and legends and stuff about this treasure that's going to be there, and whether it's actually like gold coins or artifacts or anything like that, but you know, they're just going out digging for treasure. And we do that, right? There's just all kinds of stories of lost treasure and looking for treasure and seeking things that are valuable and important to us. And then there's the ultimate, one of the most famous treasures, and that would be the crown jewels. Makes me want to stand up and da, 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 da. You know, you guys ever seen the crown jewels? Anyone actually gone and seen the crown jewels in London? Anyone? Yeah, it's pretty cool, right? They're very jewelly and crowny and stuff. And there's like a scepter in the crown, and they use it when they're during the coronation and all that stuff. And the value on that is, they call it priceless, but they're saying if you push us to make a value, it'd be about 5 billion pounds, which is 6.4 billion American dollars. That is a lot of money for some stuff. I mean, technically, it's just like some metal and some rocks and some fur. You know, I mean, and yes, yeah, it's nice metal and they're fancy rocks. But, you know, I mean, it's this treasure, and that's one of the most famous treasures. Anyone seen Johnny English, Mr. Bean? Where they steal the crown jewels? Yeah, it's one of my favorites. Mr. Bean. I don't know if many of you guys know, maybe you know Dan Brown, but he's from England, and his Mr. Bean impression, if you ever see him, ask him to do it. It's phenomenal. He's just like, oh, you know how Mr. Bean does that? And it's just great. And he's British, so he can do it really well. But anyway, he looks like Mr. Bean. Anyways, having said that, We are all in ways, whether you know it or not, we are treasure hunters. Did you know that? We are all treasure hunters. And what do I mean by that? Well, in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, "He," meaning God, "has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to the end." So what that means is that in each one of us, there is a little bit of eternity. God has deposited his spirit in us. He breathed life in us. He created us. There's a little bit of that we all want to know where we came from. We want to know, why are we here? We want to know, what's the meaning of life? We are always searching for it. We are always looking for a treasure. And we do it in all kinds of ways. We can spend our entire lives looking for treasure, looking for the answer to those questions, looking for meaning, looking for value, looking for something that has value, that gives us value. And we all do it because God has put in us that desire, that little bit, to know those questions, or to know the answers to those questions. And what's interesting is that we can spend our entire lives looking for the wrong treasure. Or we're trying to find value, we're trying to be identified, we're trying to get answers to questions from things that are earthly. And this eternity in our hearts is this desire to find a treasure that has heavenly value, that has a spiritual value beyond anything that we can understand. And so what we do is we go after things that are earthly. We go after things that are around us. We go after the things that we can see. And unfortunately, any earthly treasure is given its value based on us. We give all the earthly treasures, like the crown jewels, for example. I mean, yeah, they're worth, you know, $6.4 billion, but I mean, who's going to buy that? Maybe someone would want them. But that the only reason that that's valuable, I mean, because really it is, it's just some metal and some rocks, you know? And it's, yeah, it's cool. And yeah, it's some amazing craftsmanship. But it's got its value based on what we've put into it, what we've said is important, what we've said is valuable. But the treasure that we're all really trying to find has value because God has made it valuable, because it has to do with him. So we're all seeking this treasure. And I guarantee you, once you find this treasure, once you find it, then you'll do everything you can to get more of it, to get to connect with it, to cherish it. So what is this treasure? The treasure we're talking about today is the parables that we're going to be going over. And we've been going over parables out of Matthew for the last few weeks. Pastor Joe's done some, and I've done some, and Pastor Eric Dooley has done some. But the parable today is of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great value. Find it in Matthew 13, 44 through 46. Let's read this. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought it." So this is a parable. Remember, I like Pastor Eric's definition of a parable. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So this is Jesus saying, this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's like this great treasure, or it's like this pearl of great value. And when we find it, we'll do anything we can to get it and to be part of it and to connect with it. And that's the basics of this parable. He's telling us the value of the kingdom of God. And he's saying that the true treasure that we're all looking for is God's kingdom. It is the kingdom of God. So I think we've defined a few times, what is the kingdom? Well, the kingdom is wherever the king is, where the king reigns. So that would be Jesus, right? Jesus is the king of the kingdom of God. And as Americans, it can be a little hard for us to understand, you know, the whole idea of, you know, a monarchy and a king and all of that. And we kind of think about that and like, I don't get that, you know, so much. But Jesus is the king. He is the ruler of the kingdom of God. And wherever he is, wherever he's invited to be, wherever we say we bow before the king, wherever we say, "Jesus, I submit my life to you. I give my life to you. I want to be under your authority. I want to be I want to receive your love, your grace, your forgiveness. Wherever we do that, that means the King, Jesus, is ruling in that place and the kingdom is there. So wherever you go, when you have that relationship with Jesus, you're bringing the kingdom with you. The kingdom of God is there. So that's what the kingdom is. Now, one of the things that we've also talked about with the parables is that you got to be careful about taking these and running them to the extreme. Because if you read this parable, you might be thinking, and if this is the only thing you read about the kingdom or the only thing you read about, you know, out of the Bible, you'd think, wow, so the kingdom is something that can be bought. That means I can buy heaven. I can buy this kingdom. It's not what this parable is saying. We know, we just sang a song, The Reckless Love, you know. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. We can't buy the kingdom of God, and it's not what this is saying. There's nothing we can do to earn it, buy it, or get into the kingdom, into heaven, to be with God, to be with him, other than surrendering our lives to Jesus, because he did it all for us, right? So why was it saying that? Why it's saying that is because he sold all he had, or he sold everything he had with the pearl, is because it's talking about value. It's talking about the value of the kingdom of God. It's trying to make this comparison, saying that the kingdom is truly worth everything. The kingdom, I titled the sermon, The Priceless Treasure, because there's a lot of priceless treasures out there, but there is only one, the priceless treasure. And that's what the kingdom of God is. It truly is priceless in the sense that we cannot buy it. It is valuable beyond compare. Our salvation, our entrance into the kingdom of God was bought and paid for by Jesus Christ, by his broken body and his shed blood for us. He died for us on the cross to pay for our sins because we couldn't do it on our own. And that makes the kingdom of God absolutely beyond compare, priceless beyond imagination. Nothing that we could ever attain, nothing that we could ever even hope to dream in our wildest dreams to be able to purchase our way into. You cannot do it. You can't do enough good stuff in your lifetime ever to get into the kingdom of God. And that's good news, because we're all a bunch of screw-ups. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Come on, admit it. We're all a bunch of screw-ups. I put me in that too. We mess up every day, all the time, and our righteous works, the good stuff we do, rarely outdoes the bad stuff we do. Most of it's just neutral, you know? So we can't get there. But that's good news, because Jesus made a way for us to do that. The value of the kingdom is based on what the king has done and who the king is, and that's King Jesus, who paid the ultimate price for us. Hallelujah, amen. Sign me up for that! It's a free gift. You don't have to buy it. So what this is speaking about is value. I always wondered when I read this about the guy. So he finds his treasure in the field, and then he leaves it there. Doesn't dig it up. He just finds it. And then he leaves and goes buys the field. And I was like, why didn't he just take the treasure? Well, in that time, they didn't have banks or anything like that, so it was actually very common for them to bury treasure. They would bury the valuables of their household, and they would, you know, out in a field somewhere where they thought was safe. And what would happen sometimes is some guy would go on a trip, and maybe he got ate by a lion. I don't know, something. It was a little random, but he got ran over by a cart or something. I don't know. He died. He got mugged. I don't know. Something like that. He's dead, all right? And his treasure's in this clay pot in the ground. And so legally, the owner of that treasure is, if it's found and discovered, is whoever owns the field. But there was an interesting thing that if you were working, this guy was most likely a laborer, and he's working for someone, he's probably working the fields, and he discovers this treasure. So if he takes the treasure out of the ground, it legally becomes, then he's obligated legally to give it to the owner. But what he did is he saw the value of this treasure, so he left it, which means that there's no legal obligation yet for him to declare this treasure. He goes, buys the field so that he can have it. He saw the value of it. And it's not about him being shifty or anything. Once again, it's trying to speak to the value of that treasure, the value of the kingdom. That's what Jesus is trying to say. It is worth doing anything to get a hold of. And once again, not to earn it, not to buy into it. And I'm not saying, you know, anything as in, you know, kill people or, you know. But it's worth giving everything we have, going and selling all we have to earn it. Or not to earn it, to get it, to achieve it, to get this kingdom. Because it is truly priceless. He's talking about value. So, along the same lines of that, the fact that the kingdom compares, there's just absolutely nothing we have that compares to the kingdom. But the kingdom is truly worth selling all you have. And once again, I'm not talking about, you know, maybe God will ask you to do this, go sell all your stuff. I don't know. But I'm talking about you as a person giving up everything that you do to try to earn heaven, to try to be good, to try to be righteous, to try to be holy, to try to do the right thing. You lay all that down, all of the stuff you own, all of the relationships you have, everything that makes up who you are as a person and an individual, possessions, whatever it is. The kingdom of God is worth putting all that aside, considering it all garbage, to pursue God. Once again, I'm not talking about the fact that we throw aside our relationships and say they're garbage. But in comparison to the kingdom of God, to the King, to Jesus, it's worth putting all that aside and pursuing Him first and foremost. We need to go after the priceless treasure. We need to make sure our lives are about the priceless treasure. Luke 12. So the kingdom is worth selling all you have. And the scripture up there is Luke 12:31. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. That's what it's talking about. So when we see these two guys who go out, they find the treasure or he finds a pearl. They go away. They sell everything they have so they could get it. That needs to be our attitude with the kingdom. That's how we should be with the kingdom of God. We should be so hungry to get it because we need to understand it's this pearl of great price, of great value. It's a treasure of great value. We're talking about Jesus here. We're talking about the kingdom of God and God the Father. And we're singing about this reckless love and the grace. And that should just like burn in our soul. We should be like, that's what I want. I want God. I want love. I want Jesus. I want Him in my life. I want to know Him. I want to give aside everything. Put it all aside and consider it trash compared to who Jesus Christ is in my life. I want to go after Him. I want to love Him. I want to worship Him. I want to just go and get Him. I want to run a marathon. I want to climb hills. I want to swim across the ocean. I want to do anything I can to get Jesus because He is the greatest prize. And everything else is a bunch of hoopla. Remember we used that a few weeks ago? I was going to say something else, but we've got to keep a G in here. But it's true. It is. Everything should be about Jesus. When we truly, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, one of the things that's kind of funny about these parables too is that these guys are out. One guy's just kind of living life, going along, and he finds a treasure. The other guy's actually seeking. But no matter what, where we're at, it's more about the treasure or the kingdom finding us and drawing us in than it is us really finding it. God's the one who initiates. God's the one who draws us in. But having said that, He does ask us to seek Him. And we are all designed as human beings to seek Him. We're designed to seek the kingdom. And we stuff all kinds of stuff in there to try to satisfy that, to try to say, yeah, I found it. I found it. Well, if it's not Jesus, you haven't found it. And it's not going to make you happy for very long. You know, there's a saying, money can't buy happiness. Well, it can for a short time. It can buy, but it can't buy heaven. It can't buy eternity. And it can't buy a deep, abiding joy like down in your soul. It can't buy a peace that just blows your mind that you don't get. Money can't buy that. It can buy happiness for a short period of time. But then you're going to be, if not more empty, just as empty as you were before you blew all that money on whatever this treasure is. Whatever it is you're putting all your time and energy in to seek. Jesus is calling us to seek Him and His kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And He will give you everything you need. So one of the things that, you know, we're heading into the Christmas season. And we're kind of in it, not heading into it. We're there, you know. It kind of starts with Thanksgiving. And actually now it just seems like the whole holiday season starts for Halloween now. I mean, it's like, there's just a lot of stuff going on. But anyways, having said that, we're heading into a season where we're asking you, we're wanting our church to be a place where we're a group of people that truly spend time seeking what is truly valuable and important. This season is an ultimate wonderful time. I shouldn't say ultimate, but it's a great time to seek true treasure, to seek Jesus, to allow him to speak to you, because our whole culture is starting to spool up, you know, and you'll see all kinds of Christmas stuff. And I know that they don't celebrate the season for the reason, you know, the true reason, but it still gives us plenty of opportunities. They still talk about peace on earth and, you know, all the good stuff that goes with Christmas. They talk about it as much as they can without actually saying Jesus, you know. But it's a great time for us to really seek him. God should be our passion. He should truly be in our lives that priceless treasure. You know, I know it's hard sometimes. I know sometimes reading the Bible, you go through it and you're just like, you know, I get that. But this priceless treasure we're going after is Jesus Christ. And there should be times in your life where you're just like, yes! Where you connect with Jesus and he reveals his love to you and it just makes you want to worship. It makes you want to, that's what finding the treasure does. It makes you just want to say, hallelujah! Or Mr. Bean. Making sure you guys are awake. Because that was a really horrible dance. But that's what he does. He kind of does this weird thing with his hands. You know, I got to a point in my life where I get there, not all the time, but sometimes. It's like I just feel the presence of the Lord. And it's like I can't express inside the joy or the peace or the stability or that. I can't even say it in words. God is that amazing. You can have those moments in your life where you're just, wow! And you might even look like a dork doing it. Because I do all the time, you know? But it's like King David when he danced before the Lord and, you know, his wife kind of looked down and said, that was ridiculous. And he said, I will be more undignified than this. You can have those moments. This isn't just like a, you know, the kingdom of God is not just like, maybe, you know, and life's horrible and we're never going to really taste the goodness of the Lord until heaven. And right now it's just always going to be horrible and terrible and not true. You can have moments with the King of the kingdom where you're just like, wow! Even better than Buddy the Elf yelling, Santa! Even better than that. I mean, he's freaking out over Santa. He should be freaking out over the King of Kings, right? There are things in your life now that bring you joy, where you can simply just experience, maybe it's your children or your grandchildren or a relationship or a friend or something you do. It just brings you joy. You know, you make something with your hands and you look back and you're like, that was, it's just nice, right? Those should pale in comparison to the moments you can have when you find this priceless treasure, when you seek it, seek him above all else. And in this season, the stress, the commercialism, the pressure to have a perfect Pinterest Christmas, all of that does not have to take away from those moments. And that's one of the reasons why we want to do the Advent thing. You know, it's like there's a whole bunch of them back there. But as a congregation, starting on December 1st, a few minutes a day, just read. Oh, it's right there. Oh, thank you. You want it back? Oh, too bad. Actually, I'll autograph it and it'll be worth more. Just kidding. That was weird. There's a bunch of these back there. Take one per family. But what we're encouraging you to do is take time to seek the kingdom. Seek Jesus. Don't let the world throw a bunch of stuff on you this season. Don't let the world just bury the treasure that's in you. Seek him. You can have those moments. That's a good thing. You know, no matter how far you feel from Jesus, no matter how far you feel disconnected from God, wherever you're at, maybe you don't even know if you truly believe in Jesus, wherever you're at, I encourage you to seek him, because you will find him if you seek him. And he will blow your mind. He gone. And that's a good thing. So the kingdom is worth selling all you have. Now this is another part of it. And this was an interesting part to me that I felt like, I don't know, maybe the Lord was just saying it to me, but you may be the field someone finds the treasure in. You know, we've all encountered Jesus in different ways. You know, you've all heard of him, maybe you haven't, but almost everyone who gets saved who connects with the kingdom, who finds this treasure, it's through somebody else. It's through a person. Even if you're Jason. He was watching TV, but it was still a person, right? Benny Hinn, TVN. Yeah. Some of you might think, I don't even know who Benny Hinn is. Some of you are thinking, Benny Hinn's the Antichrist. But you know what? Jason got saved because of Benny Hinn. You know, I mean, it's, you never know where this treasure's going to be found, right? And you never know, as people are seeking, that you might be the one that they're going to discover the kingdom of God in. That's an honor. That's exciting to me. Kind of scary, too, though. Because, you know, I don't know how much manure they got to dig through sometimes to get down to the kingdom in my life. Just saying. It's true. But you may be that person. 2 Corinthians 4:7a says, we have this light shining in our hearts. And this is specifically talking about the gospel. That if the kingdom of God is where the king is, the message is the gospel. That's the good news, that Jesus died for our sins, that Jesus has set us free from sin and death. That's what it's talking about. This light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile jars of clay containing this great treasure. That to me is really encouraging, because I am messed up. I am this fragile jar of clay that can be shattered in a moment. But yet, God has chosen in that to put his great treasure and allow other people to discover that treasure in you. That's really cool. Allow people to see the kingdom in you. Be open and aware that there's people around you who are seeking God. They're seeking something. Sometimes they don't even know what they're seeking. They just know that they're looking for it. And they can't even define it. And they've tried all kinds of things, you know, that they're starting to define as it, as that treasure. And they don't know that that treasure is Jesus Christ. And God is drawing everyone, and he may want to use you to be someone's treasure revealer. You may be someone's field. So this Christmas, as we go about this season, just remember those things. Seek God. Go after him. He is awesome. You can have those moments where you know that the King of Kings is with you, that God of heaven is with you, that you are encouraged and built up and strengthened. And sometimes those moments might be in the midst of just a horrible, no good, terrible, rotten day. There's a little plug for the movie, apparently. And all right, you're the only one who smiled. Did anyone else get that? Yeah. Okay, good, thank you. That's a funny movie, by the way. That was a horrible day, terrible day, horrible day. But even in the midst of that, you can experience this peace that passes all understanding. You know, they keep talking about goodwill and tidings of comfort and joy. You know, like you go out to a the mall and you're going shopping and there's everyone going around. There's this feeding frenzy of people going on, and like on Black Friday, and you know, if you went, you know, God bless you, but that's crazy to me. But if you go out, you know, and it's like everyone's buying and spending and going nuts and having, I don't know, there's chaos a lot of the times. And yeah, sometimes it can be fun. Sometimes it's just crazy. Sometimes there's elbows and, you know, and people are camping out for 6 days before and all of that stuff. So in the midst of that, you hear in the background, you know, Silent Night, you know, and there's Christmas carols playing, you know, about peace and comfort and, you know, Jesus and all of this stuff. And, oh, holy night, I saw that doll first. Give me that. What do you mean the coupon's only good till 10 o'clock? What kind of store is this? That was my mad woman voice. It was a dude, he'd just be like, poof. No, just kidding. I was at Costco the other day, before Thanksgiving, the day before, and there was like 40 or 50 people in line for a pumpkin pie. And which is fine, whatever. They're really good pumpkin pies, by the way. I eat a lot of them. Just saying. As you can tell. But, you know, but what's kind of funny, though, is like, there's all these people, that they want this pumpkin pie. And there's this one guy, I started talking to him, he was looking at the line, and he's kind of like this, shaking his head, and he's like, it ain't worth it to me, you know? But what's interesting is just the season and what we do for making things, like, we just want this pumpkin pie, or whatever it is. And so we'll wait for a long time, and we just want everything to be so perfect, and we want it to be just so, and we pile on all this stress and all this stuff, and... And I don't, you know, if you want to wait in line for pumpkin pie, that's fine. Do what you got to do. But if all the bells and whistles and all the ornaments and all of the things of this season is keeping you from truly seeking God, it's keeping you from truly enjoying and experiencing the joy of this season, if it's keeping you from connecting with Jesus, from understanding that he came to set us free, but also that he's coming again. That's what the Advent's about, right? The first part of it's that anticipation of him coming the first time as a little baby. And then as we get closer to Christmas, there's this anticipation and understanding that he's coming again. And when he comes, man, it's going to be awesome. There's going to be a feast beyond measure. We get to sit down with Jesus and have this massive banquet, and there's going to be worship and celebration and this massive party. It's going to be excellent, and we will be face to face with the greatest priceless treasure ever, Jesus Christ. That's coming. And that's what we anticipate, and that gives us hope. But today, over this next season, and throughout any day of the year, whether it's 110 degrees out or whether it's snowing and you're hearing little jingle bells, you can connect with him. You can have those moments where you experience the true, rich beauty and power of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're encouraging you to do this season. Seek God. He is the priceless treasure. He is absolutely worth anything you need to do to connect with him and to get in there and be with him. Amen? You guys okay? You guys ready to party? You know, I was thinking about this. The hard part about this kind of sermon is that you may feel like, oh, I suck. I don't spend any time with the Lord. You know, I've read my Bible once in the last 5 years. You know, I just feel guilty and shame. Don't do that. This isn't a, hey, you better shape up or you're going to be like lightning bolted thing. This is a, we have this wonderful, amazing treasure. We have this God. We have this person, this Jesus Christ, who is calling you in to be with him, not so that he can beat you up, but that he can love on you. So take that away. Don't take a, oh my goodness, I gotta pray more. I gotta do all this stuff more. Don't do that. Don't beat yourself up. Rev yourself up in the sense of, I want to seek him. Start allowing, ask the Holy Spirit. Say, like, tweak my brain. Do whatever you have to do, but help me understand how amazing God is, how amazing our Father is, how amazing the Son, Jesus Christ, is. He'll do it for you. That's what we should be doing. That's where you should be at. God, I'm hungry for you. Satisfy. Feed me, God. I'm thirsty for you. Let me drink of you. Have those moments. Amen.